Good afternoon. And it's April 26, 2018, and I call the board study session of Rowland Unified School District of Education to order. It's now 4:33. Roll call, please. Dr. Mitchell.
Sure. Lynn Ebenkamp, here. Angelina Pride, here. David Malkin.
Present.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Is any agenda changes?
None from staff.
Okay. So, need a motion for adopt the agenda?
I'll move.
Donna Friedman move.
Second.
Mr. Malkin second.
I'll second.
All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Okay. Flex the room. Ms. Friedman?
Oh, yes,
yep,
your
turn.
Please stand up.
Please lead us.
Put your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Dr. Mitchell, any comments?
Yes, there are two. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh,
there are four.
Two more? Okay. The remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended to further or limited by votes of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Okay, first. Ms. Roy Humphrey?
Okay, thank you. The failure to maintain the website as to the Bond Oversight Committee meeting changes is as to the character of the district and refusing to spell my name correctly. I understand that do anything to assure that Hazel, the crying woman of Oswald, which should be Woman of the Year, will not get any notice. The video is on my YouTube channel, by the way. Yet I found her testimony at the last board meeting to be therapeutic and cathartic, and I hope it was the same for you. It might be a good idea, as per her testimony, that the board pay more attention to the business of running a school district. A good start would be the very 21st century idea of video recording the public meetings, and that would obviously be a good start. Also, from the Bond Oversight Committee, we have a quote, and this is from Denise Jackman, who states that, sent this to me, I sure hope that you got all the response that you wanted from the letter that you, meaning Roy Humphreys, wrote for Harry to read. I witnessed most of the issues and letters for Harry. The interpretation of the events were wrong. She should know this from the video. It is clear that the influence you, Roy Humphreys, have over Mr. Peterson is strong, and that's why I nominated Natalie last night. We certainly don't need another blind follower of yours, Roy Humphreys, on the board. By the way, Harry Peterson has strongly protested that he is in an issue with terminal cancer, so he couldn't be here tonight. And she should be allowed to resign immediately. As to Proposition 39's Bond Oversight Committee and State Constitution, its primary end product over time has been to create criminals. As to your own deeds of action and inaction, you have confirmed that the era of Maria Ott at the Rowland Unified School District was that of incompetence and was bulging with a host of PhDs, one of which was Robert Wirtz. To me, he stated, the voters would never agree to the $250 million bond needed to cure the district's ghetto condition. They never had the chance to say no. The ghetto history continues. As to pomp and ceremony, we noted Maria Ott and board members left. I still have the image of Lynn Ebenkamp, a board member, and Angelina Pride noting to Heidi Gagos and Judy and I how the two departing members made the board, these board members who they were. And as to Harry, he did get a card from the Bond Oversight Committee noting his participation for 4 years, which is obviously more than what the district has, is willing to do for a person who should be voted in as. Thank you.
Okay, the next speaker is Andy Ng.
I have a concern about, and in reference to the Oswald bond money. I have three children that attend Oswald right now, and I'm getting the feeling that two of them aren't going to see the construction at all. And I have a first grader that probably won't see it for a long time. I attended the meeting with the attendant superintendent last week, and I saw some of the diagrams for the architectures, and some of them were didn't even make sense in reference to having footbridge across Creekside, which there, in my opinion, there's no way the city of Walnut would approve. And also in reference to the money that's stated for Oswald Academy, I just want to get some assurance that that money would be still there. And I didn't get any assurances that it will be there still. It's allocated, but who's to say in the future that it's not reallocated? And in reference to the overcrowding at Oswald, you know, during that meeting last week with the assistant superintendent, the problem that they were stating was that Oswald's overcrowded, and in order to rebuild it, there were some logistical issues in reference to the slot size, what have you, due to the given amount of students. And one possible solution was to reduce the amount of students at Oswald, but the process will take quite a bit of time. One possible solution that was mentioned is to cut one kindergarten grade out in order to reduce the school size over time, which would take many years in order to reduce that to 300 excess students. And in reference to a possible other solution that I was thinking of is reference to district of choice. If the district wanted to reduce the school size within a quick amount of time, then we should, as parents, have an option to attend Walnut Valley. And I received some applications from Walnut Valley, but they state that they won't take any role in Pomona Unified students, given the fact that Walnut lost the lawsuit. But if the construction at Oswald doesn't happen, you know what I mean, you're offering an inferior product to the students, what have you. And it's come to my attention from my eighth grade son that the construction in the back for the middle school doesn't have a bathroom, actually. The whole building doesn't have a bathroom. And they have to go to a different location in order to use the restroom. I mean, that's pretty much all I have to say in reference to that. Thank you.
The next speaker is Maren Jordan Terry.
Hi, I'm a teacher at Oswald, Marianne Jordan Terry. I've been there for 25 years. About mid-career, we were told that we were going to have a new school from our temporary building that was supposed to last approximately 20 years. It's going on, what is it, 35 or something? I can't remember, but way past what we expected. The parents at that time were told if we work hard on the bond, we would see changes, and it was assumed, which I know about assumptions more now than ever, that assuming it would be timely didn't happen. So there have been so many parents that have come and gone with the expectation that we would get a new school, we would get a new school, we would get a new school. What I have learned is that you don't get what you deserve, you get what you fight for. And so I'm standing up now to ask this board that promises be kept, on that transparency be readily apparent to all of us. When we talk about rumors, that's already slanting it as if nothing has gone wrong and everything is true. And the crying lady of Oswald is a dear parent who has worked her fingers to the bone. So even that connotation as the crying parent is very disrespectful. So I want to move forward, and I do appreciate very much that Alex came out to speak with us. I have concerns still, because again, promises were made in the past The very thought to have bathrooms in a plan that was approved in the middle school that I'm now part of, and then, to our surprise, to not have bathrooms. We have worked very hard to have middle school not intermix with the young ones. That's very difficult. And that's a lawsuit waiting to happen if we're not very diligent about that. So if we only think in terms of money, it would have made sense to go forward with the plans that we approved. So having plans approved and then not having them come through makes us leery for those of us who have been there long enough to know. Okay, years and years. So I'm asking, from the things that we have heard now, and we do have a plan, I want to make sure that money, that quantity of money, actually does go forward to buy the building and the materials with safety in mind, with quality in mind, and not, we have the same amount of money, but it took us 10 more years, therefore that money is not worth what it used to be. So I'm asking, please oversee this. Please oversee this diligently. Thank you.
The next is Lisa Buckmeyer, please.
Hi, my name is Lisa Buckmeyer, and I am a teacher at Oswalt. I am also a former Oswalt student. So 33 years ago, when I attended school there, a lot of the facilities we see today are exactly what were there when I was a student. And the school had opened in 83, and I attended in 85, and here we are 33 years later, and still in the same cafeteria, still using the same stage that I performed on in sixth grade. My drama class is now performing on a stage that has wood coming off of it, and it's broken. It holds the students up, but you know, the facilities and the materials that are there are very worn. And my old classroom is actually now, even as we've grown, is now a locker room for our middle school students. We don't have permanent facilities. The one permanent facility that we do have, our S building, I'm not going to beat a dead horse about that one. We all know how that has come about. I did go through two pregnancies getting myself to the bathroom in the front of the school because there was no bathroom in that building. That also being said, our current building, we understand that it cannot be changed. It is built. It is permanent. However, there are things that can be fixed within that facility. We can have a camera added into the hallway for student safety because of the way that the walls are protruding. We can have all of the hundreds of screws that are hanging from the ceiling in an open area. We can have those things capped. We can have the acoustics that is horrible in that building when we try to whisper and it's really loud, and this is stuff we've talked with Alex about already, so he is aware. We can have those acoustics fixed. So those little things, we can't change the building, but you can improve what your predecessors left us with. And that is one of the things we're asking for. Going forward, I would just ask that, again, that there is transparency, that there are updates. The last that I knew of with all of these facilities was that in 2016, we were told that by 2018, ground would be broken. Here we are, 2018, and there's no housing. We're not moving anywhere. So I understand that other modernization at schools might push us back a bit, but not to have any updates, that is not okay. And it took a parent coming forward for something to happen. And I think that is sad that we are on the end of putting out a fire as opposed to just keeping us informed. And that's what I would like in the future, is really just keeping us informed and moving forward with the modernization of what was promised, so that I'm 33 years in now since being a student, and I've never left. I've been an RUSD person all along. So,
okay, let's move to the next item. We're going to have a presentation of a facility project, and Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. So this afternoon, what we have planned, Alex Flores is going to lead the board through a facilities presentation that's done in three parts. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of each part, we'll pause for questions because we know that it's lengthy in nature. And I do have some handouts that are they're same content. These just happen to have page numbers on them. So I'll distribute them to you.
President Chen, board members, Dr. Mitchell, staff, and audience, thank you for the opportunity to provide an update on our facilities. This presentation actually will have four sections. I know it's rather long. I wanted to chunk it up so that there would be some times for you to have an opportunity to ask some questions at the end of each section. And we'll be covering the maintenance program facilities, the facilities master plan, an update on bond programs and active programs, and the last section will be funds and project budgets. There are two different types of site projects that are completed on our properties, maintenance and facilities. Maintenance program includes improvements, corrections, or routine maintenance completed by our building and grounds and are performed by district employees. Some improvements also require outside assistance under the direction of and guidance of our employees. The three categories of improvements of routine projects are mechanical, structural, and grounds. Facility projects are completed by licensed contractors who also work with other agencies requiring state certifications like architects. Types of projects are construction or demolition of a building, insulation or removal of portables, or pavement projects. Our building service department has 36 dedicated staff members. And before I get too further along in the presentation, I would like to highlight one of the staff members here today, Charlie Jensen. Tomorrow will be his last day after serving 39 and a half years of service to our district, so I'd like him to be recognized. Charlie? Please. He had planned to retire last week, but he wanted to hear my presentation because he knew there was like 80 pages. These wonderful and dedicated individuals complete approximately 6,000 work orders every year. Along with corrective work orders and routine maintenance schedules, the department has focused on some specific issues, one being safety and beautification projects. This summer, Santana received some curb appeal with some new plants throughout the school site, and the entire campus was painted. Giano Quad received the facelift, replaced grass area with plants. We look to replace grass with drought-tolerant plants and also to reduce noise from mowers closest to our classrooms when possible. In the background, you can also see shade structures that was completed and funded by 2012 bond funds. This past summer, the entire school was also painted. The Blanford Reading Garden, along with being aesthetically appealing, it's a living lab where learning can take place, and we look forward to projects like these. Nogales and Giano have new attractive marquees that not only look good, but also are wonderful means of communication for our communities. The district will also get a marquee. I would like to share for the first time to the entire board the marquee we have designed for the district office. We have taken great steps in a lot of different safety measures with installing fences. Anywhere we can be safe, we want our staff, our children, and our community to have a safe school. One safety measure that the department has worked on to improve is outdoor lighting by enhancing and improving lighting with energy-efficient LED lights using Prop 39 funds. Building Service has worked this year to develop a comprehensive camera solution under the direction of Chris Ferraro, who's sitting to the right of me. It began last year when Giano, a pilot school, received camera options. Although we are in the bid phase of the project, both Roland and Nogales had approximately 14 of their designated 55 cameras installed over spring break. The cameras installed are aligned with the recommendations from our outside consultant that we hired. Again, the comprehensive high schools will have over 50 cameras installed throughout each campus. At this time, I've asked Chris to show some recorded live feeds of today so you can see some placements of cameras and also some features. Yes, this is Nogales High School. And this camera not only captures the front entrance, but also captures the stairway. In the bottom, you see the green. That's a recording so that at any time we can go ahead and look to see for any spot during the day if there was a possible issue that we can easily go to it also. Show them. This is Roland High School. As Roland High School has some challenges right now with all the construction that's taking place, this captures most of the students who are coming in from the parking lot, and this would be found on the Aquatic Center camera lens. So at this time, during this phase, around 14 cameras for each site were installed at the perimeter where all the entrances are at. The other 40 cameras that remain to be installed will be all in the inside the campus. The last feature I would like to share with you is some capability of these cameras. So this is a camera that we have in the back of Roland High School that can zoom in and move around all the way to the fence to make sure the fence is locked in the back. This morning when we were looking at it, we saw a bus that was parked, unlocked it, parked again, and locked the fence. And this is a live feed at this time?
Live right now.
Okay. So it's... So we'll move along on the... Can we get the... This was the last slide. At this time, I can answer any questions you may have on our facilities or maintenance program. I also would like to share to thank Chris for going out this week after the meeting at Oswald. The concern was raised about the cameras in the S building, and Chris did go out this week to work with a contractor to install some cameras there. I wanted to update.
Thank you. You showed the picture of the marquees at Nogales and one other place. Giano. Who paid for those?
Those were paid by the site. The site received district funds. The district a few years ago gave each site funds for improvements. So some of those funds were used for that, and some funds also they raised it themselves also. But I believe the Giano project was used primarily with the site funds that we gave about 2 years ago. To each school, we gave it based upon their enrollment. We gave a per dollar amount, and they were free to use working with their sites.
I remember that. So it was up to the school site if that was one of their priorities to spend money on a marquee.
Yes, and it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then the other one with the cameras, I just want to say very pleased to see that they're very, very clear. The picture is very clear, so it looks like it's very good quality. What schools are next?
What we plan to do is all schools this summer. We're in the bid phase at this time, and we've advertised for bids. At the same time, we're also looking at new technology. Just last week, I took a team to Cisco and UC Irvine to see the technology that they have when it comes to cameras also that would require less of an impact to our IT department so that they can focus on the instructional program with devices. So those are doing concurrently as we go out to bid. But we have calendared it to go out to bid to take it to an award in the June board meeting so that work can start in the summer, working with the secondary schools down. So the high schools to the intermediate schools to the elementary schools.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. First of all, for the cameras, what's the process to determine where the cameras are placed on campus?
Yes. Cameras, we learned a lot through this past year of getting a camera solution. If you deal with vendors that are selling cameras want you to have extra cameras and put them in every corner. So what we did independently to protect our investment was hire a consultant to actually do a review of each of our schools so that we have capturing all of our location, all of our primary square footage. That also included going out to the school sites, walking them, speaking to either a custodian or a principal to get some information regarding the best location. And that was all led by Chris Ferraro working with the consultant. But we have an independent consultant who is telling us how many cameras we need, where we should place them, so that when we go out to bid, it's an even, fair plan that we'll be bidding on what we need, not what a vendor says that we need.
I know on some of our school sites we have a bigger problem than others regarding graffiti or vandalism. Was that used in that determination?
Yes, all the hot spots where there's activity were discussed so that they could be addressed. Those outside perimeters will actually have alarms set into the cameras so that if anyone goes into an area on off hours, there'll be a notification provided to our security team that will be able to monitor immediately either through their phone, through their iPad, or through a monitoring system.
Okay, and then one last one, picking up from Ms. Pride, where those maintenance projects, facility projects, there seems to be some overlap there. Depending on whether it's classified as maintenance or facility, does the money come from a different allocation in the budget, or?
Well, if it's like a facility project that's bond related, it would come from bond funds. So yes, there are different type of funds that can be used. You can use deferred maintenance for routine maintenance, things that need to be improved on. You also have just general fund that usually for some projects. What we did this year is for each of our school sites, we gave our principals an allocation for facilities improvements, a per dollar amount, where that would be considered general fund, that those would be an additional project that they would do. In most cases, it's like a $10, I believe, per student that we allocated. So they're not major big projects, but there are projects that they will be able to do. That would be general fund. So there are different funding sources.
But the funding for the marquees, would that come out of that
fund? The funding for the marquee would be a general fund expense.
It would be?
Yes.
Because that would be something that, as a board member, I would like to see that at all the schools. I realize that some schools might have other priorities, but I think that having a marquee at each school helps the image of the school and the announcements of activities going on, registration, vacation, and things like this. I would hope that all schools would choose the marquee. Okay, thank you.
So, Mr. Flores, you can assure us that bond money is not being used for the marquees. Is that correct?
Yes, it's not being used.
Because a lot of the parents are worried about their money being spent on other things. On the page 5 of the slides, where you show the district marquee planning, is that actually the way you want it to look? Do you want the name at the bottom where it can hardly be read, or do you want it at the top?
That was a design that where there wasn't too much place where we can put it. But that is the structure that we're looking at, that it's going to be to the ground, not on a pedestal. The name could go on top, and then the screen can go a little lower. But we're working with not too much space to put the name, okay, if you look on top.
So it can't go up above it?
Well, there's a height requirement and how high it can go. And we're trying to maximize the actual screen, but we will look and take that consideration and bring different. This is the first time you're seeing it. So we will bring back different designs for the board to see.
I'm really pleased to hear about the cameras and that you are already working at Oswald to put up some of the cameras that they've asked for. And I'm sure there'll be more installed this summer.
Yes.
I'm done.
I was going to ask what Ms. Pride asked about the other schools, so it's good to know that all the schools will have cameras, and they're going to start in the summer. How long do you think it will take for all of our schools to have cameras?
We'll have a better understanding. Our goal would be to be completed in the summer. Being realistic, it most likely will bleed into the school year. But, again, we'll be working from our secondary schools down to our elementary schools. With our elementary schools most likely being prioritized by the size of enrollment so that it has the greatest impact on our students.
So Oswald, where will they fall? I know K through 8.
Oswald actually probably will be, the building as will be done before, most likely.
Okay.
Be done before, because that's going to be outside of the bid project. What I've contacted Cisco when I spoke to representative and asked them if this could be actually a test for their new cameras that they have so they can immediately be installed at Oswald, in a conversation I had a few days ago with a representative from Cisco.
Okay, thank you very much.
Could I ask one more, Carrie? Are you going to put all the cameras that you plan to put in at Oswald now?
No.
Because you don't want to take them down. And
absolutely.
Right.
That's the reason why Oswald was not included with the consultant to go out, because that's what we're going to require for the architect to put in at the building, so that the building, when it's built, will have the pathways for the cameras when the building is completed.
Yeah. Are the cameras being monitored, or is it after the fact that we look at the cameras?
Well, the cameras have the capability to be monitored live, right, like we saw some live right now.
But you need a body in front of it.
You do need a body in front of it. Then also has capability to review. And there's some digital enhancements, digital recognition that some of these features also offer, so that it can actually tell you exactly when there was activity took place in certain areas that are not usual,
right,
that are not normal.
And on the marquee for the district office, is that double-sided?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
On the camera, anyone assigned for monitoring the activities all the time, or is that can be monitored from you or anyone's cell phone?
It can be.
Yeah. So if something happened, and you or Dr. Mitchell or anyone in administration can turn on the cell phone, can see what's going on in what corner of the district. So
yeah, select personnel have capabilities, but we guard that very closely. Mm-hmm. So for at Nogales and at Roland, the site administrators and the district safety will have access to the cameras. Access to the cameras, and each one will have an individualized account so that we could also monitor, and no recording capabilities, so that we can also monitor if people are on our cameras also. Mm-hmm. So it's very limited in the sense that we strategically make sure it's limited, the amount of people that have access to the cameras. But hopefully that answers your question.
My question is the images can be monitored all the time and by the authorized administrators only. Yeah. So, okay, that's good. Then My second question is on page four. There's a reading garden. Are these benches for the students sit there for reading?
Let me just put it back for the audience.
And my question is no shade, no tree. There's one tree only. Oh, this only one? Is it not these?
Garden where they're planting.
These are the garden. So these benches, they're not for reading.
Planting boxes, no reading.
These are planting boxes, and this has been designed so that if you would like to sit down here and read, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more of the reading garden here.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that this is a live, it's a garden, so it needs sunlight. So this is why there is shade in the perimeter, but not in the center as much right there.
I see. Okay. I thought if that for the kids reading, and it's hard. There's no shade. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
It goes back to what Carrie was saying earlier, Mr. Chen. I assume that we're going to have a series of policies and procedures as for confidentiality and who has access to what and things like that for the district, for the video cameras.
So in terms of policy, we have those for confidentiality. That's why we closely monitor who has access and what level of access they have. We do the same thing when it comes with student data, employee data, et cetera.
Okay.
Seeing there's no more questions, I'd like to move over to the Facility Master Plan and provide you an update. The Facility Master Plan provides a clear vision for the district facilities. The plan is part of the district's goal structure, effectively supporting its guiding mission statement, and will have a tremendous impact on the quality of learning programs offered in our district. It can have far-reaching effects on staff morale and leadership development, student enthusiasm, and attention. The components of the Facility Master Plan will include a facility's assessment and needs. This is essential for the direction and driving force for the future projects. The Facility Capacity Study is essential to best plan each school's enrollment and could impact school boundaries and prioritize projects. The district educational specifications illustrates what is needed to support our instructional program for the district. The program development cost estimates provide a schedule by prioritizing and identifying products that are needed to be completed, along with providing cost estimates for proper budgeting and planning. And funding and financing analysis will also be included. This information will provide on products that are eligible for state funding so that district resources can be saved. Campus verification and compliance. This was a very long process requiring each site to be walked by both Architects for Educators and district staff. We had to review old records to determine state identification numbers for our buildings. Several return trips were needed and took longer than anticipated. This is the foundation of a facility's master plan, and corners cannot be cut. The additional time spent on this phase will be beneficial in the long term. And I apologize for the quality, but these are actually some forms with some of our schools that they've already completed. Our needs assessment. The process includes interviewing principals and building services, along with looking at the age and conditions of our facilities. Our principals received a survey, and they completed it. Examples and why a survey and speaking to our principals is so important. Because you can go ahead and read a report that has a date. You can go ahead and walk a facility and see the cracks and see the conditions of the sidings of our buildings. But you can't sometimes get the feel and flavor of what's happening on our campus without being there and hearing our principals on a daily basis provide what are some of the hot spots and issues on their campus. For example, some of the issues that came up were actually our drop-off areas in our parking lots. So that's something that you can't easily see in a report, but can be described by our principals when they meet with the architects to go over the plan. Determining each school capacity by analyzing each room on our campus creates the capacity study. Will create the capacity study. There are two different formulas that are used, and a third is applied by our district staff. One includes state standards for class loads, and the other provides district class loads to determine what is the maximum capacity a school can have. The state standard is very important, as this is the baseline used to determine eligibility for funding. The third set of numbers applied are actual enrollment numbers by the district so that we can see what our capacity is, where there's room in each of our schools. This table illustrates the district enrollment from 2006 to 2017. The 2017 enrollment numbers will be applied to the capacity study to see the space that's available and will be applied ongoing to see how much space you have in each of our schools. This graph best demonstrates the decline in enrollment that our district has experienced. This is not only an RUSD issue, but many other districts facing declining enrollment. I was aware of most districts in Southern California experiencing decline, but recently I, along with CBOC members and Ms. Ebenkamp, attended a CalBOB annual meeting in Sacramento and found this issue was facing by most districts in the state of California. This also is another example of a cost estimate that will be provided by project by school to the district. We had hoped that the facility master plan would have been completed by the end of this year. The architect firm will need the summer to complete the plan. As I shared, the project was impacted by the site verification process. During this stage, we found that older projects, some older than 10 years, were not properly closed out by DSA. This is why we recently brought forward an agreement with WLC Architects to assist the district in closing out any outstanding projects. This concludes this section. If you have any questions that I can answer.
Nate?
Is a district master plan and facility master plan the same thing? Or is there no such thing as a district?
I think the facility master plan supports the district plan.
Okay, there are two.
I think it's how you define a district master plan. That could be instruction. That could be, so I don't know what your definition is, so I would not be comfortable saying they're the same.
But one of the main issues for a facility master plan is to support the instructional program at our schools, in our district.
And they're supposed to finish it by the end of summer, you think?
No, we had hoped it would be finished in a year, but it's the first part took a little longer. So they anticipated to be finished September of 2018, and we would like to bring to the board in October the presentation of the complete master plan, facilities master plan.
Thank you.
Milken?
Just an observation on the district enrollment. The chart that you had there. There's if you would graph the TK, it's a straight line up with some significant increase in 2017. It's the other chart that had the numbers. Then after TK you have the K, and there's a significant fall off. So we're getting the students at the TK level. For some reason, we're not keeping them, and they're falling off. I'm just wondering what's happening there. The students are out there, and if we can capture those TK and keep them, then eventually these other numbers through K-12 would all go up. But for some reason, we're losing them after TK.
Well, because
it's... Can we go back to
sure.
Yeah, that chart there.
You're looking at this area.
That's when we started TK? Yeah. Are you looking at 2012?
2017. Okay. We're at 359, 2016, 310.
Well, we're gaining them.
Yeah, we're gaining. for TK, then the next year enrollment dropped.
It went three students.
It went from 9 to...
No, because it went from 923 to 918.
Right.
Because you got to jump, leap ahead.
Oh, this goes down.
921.
Right.
972 to 961. So there are slight drops in right. grade levels, but kids move.
Yeah.
So is that what you mean?
Yes, yes.
The TK kids. Well, the
it's just not growing.
The increase that we have at the TK level for the initial enrollment, it was 310 to 359. But the increase when you start looking down like you were looking isn't as significant. At least it doesn't look as significant.
She's saying it goes here and then it goes to the
right.
next one.
Yeah. Right, no, right.
It's not a cross.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like only five different kids.
You've got to go right. down one.
Right.
The
so we went from 310 in TK to 839 in kindergarten. So we right. grew by 500 students between 16 and 17. Because those TKers become Kers.
Right.
But because they're not the same kids.
Right. But the Kers the last year were 923.
They became first graders. There's
right. Like and 918. Right.
And they lost five.
Right.
Right.
Three.
Right. Yeah. And then the 921 that were first grader or second grader
remain the same.
Are 921 to
remain
right. the same. Mm-hmm. So we are maintaining.
Yeah.
where we see greater drops are in different grade bands. So between
the sixth and seventh and
the
ninth.
Biggest, between 5 and 6, from 876 to 904, that's a pattern. And then we see between 8 and 9 is our other pattern.
Okay.
Does Donna achieve that?
Yeah.
Did Donna?
Yeah. Ms. Freeman?
I have three questions. Mm-hmm. One is, you said you looked at the conditions at each school. Can you tell me, like, who went around and what you were looking for?
Sure. The architect that is working to put the data together walks the campus, and staff members walk the campus also. We divided it up because it's pretty time-consuming, mm-hmm. so I had to divide it up between Chris, Marcos, and Charlie, and especially when we knew that there were some schools that had certain conditions that had more like mechanical issues, like air conditioning, things like that, Chris would go because he specializes in that area. But there was a team that would walk around.
And go inside the classrooms as well as the cafeteria everywhere?
I know they walked the perimeter. Did they walk classrooms all?
Every single
because it happened during the school day.
And didn't want to disturb the classes. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Usually what time of the school day? Because different time, it looks different. It's during the school, the morning, more students there?
They actually had to maximize their day, so they would come like at 8 in the morning and leave around 3 o'clock, so they would work the whole day.
In the campus?
On the campus. They would go to like more, like they would maybe do three visits or four visits in one day, and they would walk it. And they also, the custodian, and if the custodian would also walk. A representative from the school site would also walk. Who knows the conditions of the campus,
Jim? Mm-hmm.
How often? So once a year you need to do that?
No, this was done with the facilities master plan, and this was just done earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff, on a daily basis, they walk our campuses as they're going. Sometimes there's work orders that are generated while they're going there to do another work order. But that's one of the things that we have communication with our custodians also to walk the campuses to submit work orders that are needed also.
And if there's a problem, you said you talked to the principal first, so teachers might say something in their classroom. The principal knows. You said you talked to the principal first about the campus and.
Well, yes, for the visit.
Yes.
Yes, they were given. They were given times to sign up, and they also were provided information when we would be going out. We don't want surprises for our campus.
Okay. And on the report that was up there, what is PK4 for? We have 56 students in 2017, way up on the top right.
Three schools.
That's the special ed pre-preschool.
They're under
3-year-olds to
under TK age.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, the facility master plan timeline. Is there any way? It seems like we're going to approve it right after summer when we could be doing the work. Is there any way to push it up at all so that?
No, and it's yeah, exactly.
You're receiving it. You're not approving it.
Well, I meant then, like to, because that means we lose the whole summer when we could have started, possibly.
Yeah, we'll be very busy this summer with a lot mm-hmm. of projects, mm-hmm. But we are just as eager as everyone is to get that report,
okay.
because it's going to be a real driving force and help us to plan for future projects.
Okay, thank you.
But I want to reassure the board that all routine maintenance and projects that are needed will be addressed. As a matter of fact, you'll be receiving at the next board meeting a lot of requests to go out to bid because we're planning to paint some schools. We're planning to do repaving. And a couple other projects that are high-ticket dollar items that are going to require the bid process. But what the Facilities Master Plan is going to do for us is allow us to plan now for the next, hopefully, 10 years. So some of these major projects had not taken place before Dr. Mitchell arrived. So that's one of the challenge that was provided to work with staff so we can plan these. These products that we're planning for this summer, we actually discussed last year. And we're doing a better job of it because last year we approved some of our bids a little late and we were scrambling at the end. We don't want to open up a school that's still being painted, which happened last year. But that was because they didn't finish and because they didn't bring their proper certifications and assurance, and we would not let them work here until then. So we're doing a better job in doing that. That's why we're bringing something sooner for the board to approve so that when school is let out, we can start moving forward. We've already worked with our summer school planning so that we can address some of our sites so that we'll not have summer school so that we can go ahead and address some areas. Big repaving at Alvarado.
Mm-hmm. But I did
Ms. Ebbingham?
I just have a comment. When I first came on board as a board member, our schools were in a lot of disarray and needed so much work. That's the one constant comment I have when I go to campuses. The staff thanks me that your department's able to stay on top and get a lot of the things done that have needed to be done for a long time. So we're getting there. Yeah. We're not perfect yet, but
nope.
We're getting there. So thank you.
Sprite?
Who's actually, and I apologize if you said it and I just didn't hear you, who's actually compiling the master plan?
That's Architects for Educators. Our primary is Rachel Adams.
I just wanted the company. I didn't know who.
They're out of Pasadena.
Okay. And then on page 22, you have a cost estimate. I just wanted to know, like, what goes into that when they go through and do the walkthrough and they see all the projects that need to be done. Is that when they then give us an estimate how much each project will cost so that we know
that's exactly
what we're looking at?
That's what the work they'll be doing this summer after they prioritize all the projects.
Okay.
Yeah, Ms. Malkin.
Thank you.
I had seen about 2 months ago a audit that was conducted by LACO from outside on the facilities, and they rated the facilities. They went and visited different areas, and they were like glowing reports. And that they're from it was an independent group that came through. I'm not too sure what it was called, but somebody had given me some copies of those. So.
Of what group?
Talking about the Williams reports?
No, it wasn't Williams. It was another audit sheet. It was a two-page audit sheet.
For our district?
Yeah, it was a two-page audit sheet. And it looked at work orders. Yeah, and it looked at work orders.
That's an internal piece, and then it went through LACO. That was
right.
Williams.
That's okay, great. Okay. Well, that was very impressive because they did look at maintenance, work orders, whether they're being done, and things like this.
That was part of Williams.
Yeah.
I appreciate the kind words, but this can't happen without the support from the board, supporting us to do this on a daily basis, and also not having great employees and a great department in building services to do. If it's okay, I would like to move forward.
Any more questions? Okay, please go ahead.
Our next topic will be our bond programs. We currently have two bonds in our bond program. This is actual language from the voters saw. The first 2006 bond was for $118 million. All bonds, when they're voted upon, are required that a list of projects are identified in the ballot. And the project list for 2006 included, but this is not, this is just some, building interiors, modernizing and upgrading interiors of classrooms, construction, new instructional areas, and supporting buildings, building systems, electronic systems, and plumbing, grounds, upgrading turf and paving. The 2006 bond also called for new construction, relocation of Santana, and a permanent building at Oswald, which is the science building. Learning walls were installed in all permanent elementary classrooms, including kindergarten rooms that were removed at one point during the 2006 bond scope of work. The two major tasks left for us will be to close out the 2006 bond. One will be to confirm all DSA documents are completed and accounted. And fiscally, as staff close the fiscal books for the 2006 bond, staff will review all funds that were used to complete the 2006 project. Although the bond, the 2006 bond was in the amount of $118 million, projects completed cost a combined amount over $155 million. So staff will the staff process will include reviewing the budget and expended amounts for each project and funding source. For example, the Nogales Revival Program was budgeted at $43,191,920, and expenses totaled $34,230,605, or close to a $9 savings from the budgeted amount. This savings will allow district to fully this savings will allow the district to fully fund the Nogales Revival Project entirely with 2006 funds, and 2012 funds that were budgeted for the revival project will be reallocated to Oswald.
It was more than $9.
Did I say $9? I'm sorry, $9
million.
I wanted to make sure no one had fallen asleep. The 2012 Measure R is for $158 million. Again, this has a list of projects to be completed. This bond measure project list specifies construction at three schools, Roland High School, Nogales, and Oswald, installing energy-efficient upgrades, relocating and upgrading locker rooms, repairing or constructing multi-purpose rooms, library or media centers, upgrade fire alarms, renovation and replacement of aging facilities as necessary. The three major R 2012 projects that have activity, Roland High School, Oswald Academy, and Nogales High School. I would like to share a little update on each. The Roland Additions Project. The project overview was a two-story building containing 22 classrooms, administration building, NPR, ASB, library, and theater. The architect is WLC. The contractor is ACC, and it's a $43.7 million contract. There are three phases on this in this project, and the total budget is $55 million. This is the architect rendering the new administration, library, NPR, and theater. This is the architect's rendering of the classroom building. Yeah. We have completed phase one, and students at Roland High School are enjoying the 22 new classrooms. This is the actual picture of the front of the building, which looks really close to the actual picture. And this is the rear. So this is real life. And this is the most important thing that happens in a school district, what happens in the four walls in the classroom. So this is a snapshot of the interior classroom of the building. As you can see, furniture that is conducive to 21st century learning was also purchased. Phase two is underway and includes administration library building, the Performing Arts Center, food services, NPR, ASB classroom, and special ed classrooms. This slide illustrates the administration and library building that is under construction, as you can see. The ASB room, please note this picture is already out of date, as stucco has applied and only the color coat remains. And this slide shows steel for the theater that has been erected. The construction period is June 2016 through August 2019, and construction is approximately 40% completed. The project remains on schedule, and the project also remains within budget. The second major project is Oswald Academy. The scope of the work is to redesign and building a TK-8 school. This would replace all the portables on campus. Project development includes all stakeholders, initially involving all stakeholders, but the last year primarily involving district staff and architects. This timeline illustrates actual activity that has taken place. It deviates from the tentative timeline that was shared with the board and stakeholders in April of 2016. The draft timeline shared in April 2016 was aggressive and tried to align with previous timelines that had been shared. This timeline also includes additional components not included in the previous timelines. A comprehensive development of educational specifications, working with traffic engineers, consultants, and meeting with the city of Walnut. And that time frame is between May of 2016 and October of 2017. There were concerns with the conceptual design. There was a new parking lot that was added to the back of the school. This caused new traffic congestion on streets not currently used. And Shadow Oak and Creekside traffic congestion was not addressed in the plan. In order to address concerns, we hired a traffic engineer consultant. The consultant physically went to Oswald and observed actual traffic load throughout the day over a few weeks, including getting hard counts of actual vehicles entering parking lots, recording those that parked and others that dropped off, cars that parked along streets and dropped off, other activities. Using all the information collected, the engineer designed several options. These options were reviewed and also shared with the city of Walnut as they require some suggested zone changes and additional pedestrian improvements. The first three options were immediately discarded as they include a parking lot at the back of the school. This is why we start with option four. Option four has a large parking lot with extended drop-off areas. Please note that the cutoff in this area here, it's very obvious because the bottom right-hand corner where there's parking lot was where the kindergarten classroom building was going to be. This would be the entrance, and this would be the drop-off here. And this red was newly designed so that there would be an area for students to be able to wait for a car to pick them up or to drop them off in a safe manner. This cut in to the actual administration building where it currently was the conceptual design. This option provided a dedicated drop-off area. The concerns was that it was very, very impacting our area to build. This would be a dedicated entrance so that flow continued and no parking was allowed. Anyone that wanted to park would park in the parking lot. But this was going to go into our cafeteria area and our covered area where it was planned for students to sit to eat. Option six reduced the drop-off area, but also included a separate drop-off for the primary and another drop-off in front. There was some concerns with possible congestion at this point here. And option seven had raised a lot of concerns because it reduces some parking space because it actually had two drop-offs, identified drop-off areas, entrance here, and come around. And this would be another drop-off area with sidewalk would take away all of this area here for parking and cutting into the hill. We felt that option 6, along with staggered start times, would be best. Regardless of the option, addressing the traffic congestion had an effect on reducing the buildable space on Oswald. State suggests that that schools of 750 students have 9.84 acres of buildable space. Enrollment is a factor at Oswald, as enrollment remains constant or increasing while other schools decrease.
What's the enrollment?
1,100?
1,104.
While addressing concerns mentioned, the project became stale at the site level, and inaccurate information and rumors were developed. Last week I met with both teachers and parents to address the issues and to assure the Oswald project is and always has been a key component of the 2012 Measure R bond. The meeting provided me with wonderful insight and important information. I committed to parents that I would provide an update to the Oswald staff and parents 3 times a year. I believe that was with the parent meeting and not with the teacher, so I apologize if any teachers did not hear that. I also shared with the parents that I would recommend to the CBOC chair to make Oswald Project a standing item for future CBOC meetings. At this time, only the Roland Project is a standing item. I want to go back and say, while addressing the concerns mentioned, the concerns of the congestion, the project became stale. That stale was expressed today in the podium of us not speaking to stakeholders at the site, and I take full responsibility for that. Based upon the educational specifications of Oswald, the original budget would not be sufficient. We recommend a budget of $50 million, not $50, for this project. We also recommend that building Oswald for a capacity of 900 students, this enrollment cap would be phased in so no current families would be impacted. We also request, and I have spoken to the president of the architect firm, to have a dedicated architect for this project. The current lead architect was responsible for both Nogales and Oswald project, and I want to have one for each project. Here are some tentative timelines. The schematic phase will be 2 months. The design development phase will be 5 months. The construction document phase would be 6 months. The DSA plan check is estimated to be 6 months. I want to state that the district has no control with DSA plan check, as those plans are submitted to DSA, and depending upon their staffing, that they will return the DSA plans to us in a timely fashion. And 3 months to bid and award process. And we estimate the project to actually be 3 years of construction compared to the previous timeline that was suggested to be 2 years. Nogales projects. The revival project was completed in December 2016. The DSA closeout phase is being finalized with the completion of a constructive change directive for the pendant lighting in the MPR. Although original plans were approved, life and safety code that changes before DSA closes out a project needs to be addressed. After the CCDs was completed and verified, the MPR acoustic modification took place. This modification has reduced the echo in the MPR. Echoes are measured by seconds. Before the modification, the echo was rated at 8.6 seconds. Now the echo is measured at 0.85 to 1.25 seconds. This modification has greatly enhanced the MPR and provides more functionality for the building. Last Saturday, the MPR was put to test, as little over 200 teachers participated in Professional Development Day that included 3 keynote speakers sessions conducted in the MPR. And it worked. The 2012 project originally planned include Building F classrooms, Building H classrooms, music rooms, the Aquatic Center, and Boys and Girls Locker Room. Originally, all projects had individual budgets planned to be built independently of each other. The first two projects to be completed were Building F and H. Building F is a building of classrooms and a small theater, currently vacated because of the condition of the building. Original budget of $8 million. Building H is the music classrooms, originally budget $5 million, including soft costs for both buildings. The conceptual design of these buildings raised some concerns. Was the music room going to be big enough for the program? As designed, the band room program would still require additional storage space. The music building was landlocked because of the constraints of surrounding buildings, some that were also going to be modernized. With acoustic modification completed in the NPR and with the preliminary information from the capacity study and the opportunity to be cost-effective with our bond funds, several options have emerged to explore. For example, building all the remaining projects at one time can open up space so that our buildings meet the needs of our programs and to be more cost-effective. The design would also, this is a revised plan for the band room, and this would also allow for proper storage and also for additional classroom space for instruction. Currently, there are two separate buildings are located on campus, our PE rooms in Nogales. Could one be created for both? Separated, of course. This locker room could also have a second floor to house classrooms if needed. This could free up space, and two-story building square foot construction costs typically are less expensive as a single story, square foot to square foot. Other options. As we developed questions, other options arose. Can we modernize the locker rooms instead of replacing them? Were they being demolished to provide space for the aquatic center? Could we build a dance room, drama room between the locker rooms and place the aquatic center somewhere else? How are the soil conditions where the current F building sits? We are aware of poor soil conditions during the revival program. Are we best served to not build on this area? Our recommendation to the board is to explore all options and to bring forward a recommendation in the winter of 2018. As you can see, the 2012 bond program are moving forward. And I would like to recap the three stages our products are in. Roland High School is in the midway point in construction process, Oswald's design and construction drawing phase, and Nogales is the conceptual design research phase. The way the projects are progressing at different stages, we're hoping that as one construction project ends, the other will begin. As you can see, following this, after Roland is finished, Oswald will begin. And once Oswald is finished or close to be finished, Nogales will begin construction. At this time, I can answer any questions.
Ms. Freeman?
The $5 million and $8 million for the music and the other thing, is that allocated already in Nogales' money, or is that extra money that we have to come up with?
No, that was originally allocated. It was originally allocated, and that has been in there.
And it's there.
It's there.
And if we go to the other options, though, that money's going to have to go up?
Be quite honest. The preliminary discussions I've had with the architect actually are the contrary, that there would be some significant cost savings. One estimate that was shared with me was very significant. I want to caution to share that number in case if it does not happen.
Definitely. Okay, and lastly, Oswald, you recommend $50 million, where I know some of the money is left over from one of the projects. How about the rest of the money?
That's an excellent question. As I shared with the 2006 bond, we'll be able to pay for the revival program. That's around $9 million, $10 million that we'll be able to use. And there's also in the next section, I'll be sharing some other areas that where we can do some reductions. That will not affect any of the program that has been established on any work to be done. It is only areas where there was contingencies, beautifications, some projects that, to be quite honest with you, we have already started and undertaken using other funding sources like deferred maintenance. So we've already been aggressive trying to address some of them using different funds.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Lynn?
It'd be kind of a mean question to ask. But, you know, we've heard so many rumors that, and I know somebody didn't like the term rumors, but for me it's convenient because, for me, rumors start when somebody hears something and they don't really know that it's true, but it sounds like it might be because of what happened in the past. And then they pass it on to someone else. And I just hope there will be a good conduit for talking about these things before they get to the point that everybody's ready to riot.
Yes, it was very informative meeting where I learned a lot. And I respect where the criticism has come. Okay. And I respect that my office needs to address that. And I understand that, as I think I said in the meeting, words are cheap, but actions are important. And until actions are seen at the school site, I think we can move on to the next chapter. But until then, we're just going to have to keep plugging along.
And I think our board has been pretty good at holding administration accountable to things that they know that our schools are going to expect. So I think I can't promise on a dagger, but I really think that we will make sure that things move along the best you can and that the money that is allocated will be spent the way it was told to the parents.
Well, I know working with the board that how thorough each and every one of you are that you would make sure that everything that was designed to happen would happen. And the frustrating part is there's a lot of questions that I can't answer because I wasn't here and some board members here were not here too. And that's frustrating, but at the same time, I do respect where the questions come from and where the concerns come from. I do respect that.
Then two quick ones. Are there any two-story buildings that Oswald planned right now?
Yes.
They're not finally yet.
At one point, there was discussion of a three-story, but two-story is two-story. Yes, there are some two stories.
Okay. And have the parents been made aware about our bond oversight committee that they're welcome to apply to join because then they can stay on top of some of the things that are going on at their school and have a say that they're doing the way that it was promised in the bond?
It was briefly mentioned. I believe it was mentioned. But what I did actually suggest is I was going to send invitations to the PTA where any projects are happening, so that they are aware of the calendar of when our CBOC meetings are so they can come to them in case if there's no member that's part of the CBOC. I like to learn and not to create another mistake. So any of these processes that we're learning through Oswald, if I can apply it to other projects, that's what we would like to do.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Bryant?
Just for clarification, because I think I may have heard it wrong, we're not just doing a science building at Oswald. We're doing a whole structure. It's more than just the science building, right?
I'm sorry. Yes, I apologize. In the 2006 bond, a science building was created at Oswald. This is to replace the entire campus.
Okay.
Without the science building, excuse me.
The science building stays as current, yes. And then we're building new classrooms and facilities.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. As far as the staggered start times at Oswald, have we looked at how many people have multiple children that go to that site, because that'll tell us whether that's going to work or not. Because if I have three kids, you know, two different start times, that other kid's going at the first start time.
The analysis for that has not taken place. It was suggested by a traffic engineer as that's okay. One of the areas to reduce the congestion issues at Oswald.
Okay. And then as far as, like, the enrollment, because I know your slide said 900 students, and we know we have 1,100 there right now. Has, I would say, consideration probably needs to be given to how many IDTs we take there each year, maybe cut it off.
Right. That is something, and I think it's important to note as well that's a recommendation that's been based on the size of a building that will be approved through DSA. Uh-huh. So we did not arbitrarily create an enrollment of 900 right. and so forth. So when we look at what are the buildable acres, that was one of the things that has stalled this project, is because we had designed a building that would not have been approved by the state through our DSA process. So to answer your questions, the details of going through it and looking at siblings and so on and so forth, we have not gone to that level at this point. But yes, over time, we would need to look at those. Residents obviously have the priority to attend their resident school.
Right. Okay. And then I think I'm almost done. So just for clarification purposes, as Ms. Evenkamp said regarding rumors, so the revised Nogales plans with the music room, the pool, and all of that will not come before the Oswald project?
No. The priority list is from Roland
to Oswald,
goes to Oswald,
then back to Nogales.
Back to Nogales.
Okay. And no money for Oswald. We're actually trying to get them more money.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, we're trying to save money to apply more money to Oswald, right?
Yes.
Which brings me to my last question, is looking at projections, because the change in costs due to the economy, I know we've all heard about the steel tariffs and how that might impact budgets.
In the next section, I am addressing the budgets per project, and there are some changes to other projects also increasing some of their budgets.
Okay, thank you.
On the slide that you had on the 2006 Measure R bond program, on page, it looks like it's 28 on the slide. My 14, but 28.
No,
on
go
the slide.
To the very bottom right here. What's the page number?
Oh, 14. 14.
Page 14?
Well, page 14, but if no, on the slide is page number. Is number 28.
Oh, so here we go. Which one?
No, that's a dot.
No, it's dot that's 28.
It. Okay. I don't, to me, it's a dot.
Mine has a dot 28.
Okay. So page
2006 Measure R bond program. That's not it, though.
Next one?
Yeah, that one, I think it is. On there, at the time the bond was passed, is that the one? I'm looking on the...
There's two.
No, that's not the one.
New construction?
It's the one that says new construction, right? There you go. It says on there, new construction for permanent buildings at Oswald, approximately 600 students?
Yes.
So when the bond was passed, we were looking at 600 students. Then the 2012 bond came, and it didn't specify a number. It just said to build additional permanent buildings at Oswald. And now we're saying 900, but then I'm hearing we got 1,100 students there. So we went from 600 to 1,100.
I can't confirm exactly what the size was of 2006. I believe it was larger. Guy, from what I was told, that there was almost 1,100 students before that were K-6. So that's what the staff had told me when I met with them, I think. So I can't answer that question. I apologize. I can do some research to find out exactly what the enrollment was in 2000. Provided in a board update.
Okay.
It doesn't say it's a complete build. That doesn't say it's replacing the entire school.
No.
It's building for 600.
Right, right.
Not an entire school for 600. Yeah, it's replacing the portables.
Which is basically the school, except for the science wing.
No, portables. No, we separate the two.
Okay.
Pieces, all the brown portables
right
there, and the ones. So I see your. Okay.
And then did somebody mention in, when they spoke at the beginning about a pedestrian walkway?
In the options that were presented by the traffic engineer, there were walkways, there was zoning changes for parking, there were different things that were suggested that were shared with the city of Walnut. As I shared last week in the meeting, that the city of Walnut wasn't too receptive to the ideas for that.
Would we have to assume the cost for that walkway then, or would Walnut?
No, we would not be able to create it unless they were to approve it. So
we
need to say this is what's been suggested, and they take it to their review and to their traffic engineers to see.
But if they would approve it, who would pay for that walkway?
That would be something we'd want the city of Walnut to pay.
Yeah. Okay.
The 7th and 8th grade building where, over there on the side of at Oswald. So is that going to be torn down or is that staying?
That is not going to be torn down, but I did learn last week of some sound issues there too. So I directed Marcos. I asked Marcos to hire a consultant to come and do a study to see what type of dampering acoustic enhancements can be done there, just like as we did at the NPR.
Is there any way to add bathrooms?
That was a question that was asked with the architect, because I had heard about that. There, I said, could we just build to the end of it? There's so much underneath the concrete at those areas of so many power, sewer, different things that it wasn't feasible. That's why some of the designs and the concept designs are having additional bathrooms at the end of the other buildings close to it, so there'll be additional bathrooms for that building. At this point, we have to try to do what's best in the next building phase to address some of those shortfalls.
Okay, and lastly, do we know how many kids are there for permits and transfers? The number?
We do have that data. I don't have it with me tonight.
Because it looks like 200 students are going to have to...
So again, I want to share...
We're not exiting students. We're not going to have students who are currently enrolled leave. We would reduce the enrollment
coming in.
As it comes in, yes.
Okay. From 1,100 to 900 and something. Okay, thank you.
As a district, too, in declining enrollment, all of our schools are declining. So we would capitalize.
I have a question on the NPR acoustic improvement for Nogales.
Yes.
And also we found a problem later in the building. So how
once the building was built, it was found to have an echo, yes.
I want to make sure that won't happen to the future buildings.
Well, for example, the money invested in front of a project is very important. So the 2012 project with the Roland, we had the same consultant, Marshall Long, who did the consulting for NPR, do our theater and also our NPR. So those are type of different things that you want to pay up front so you include in the design before a project is completed.
Yeah, need the acoustic engineer or specialist to design the room, the sound. The classroom, too, if the acoustic design is bad, and that the classroom sound is going to be bad.
Yes, and we.
Yeah, the classroom's going to be bad.
But the new building at Roland High School, that was good. The acoustic in the room is very good.
Yes, and because it has ceilings that has an acoustic effect that helps support the quality of the sound in the rooms.
Yeah, just make sure other rooms don't happen again, and the sound. In other rooms, classroom or performing art room, they are professionally designed.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
One more part?
Okay. If I can move forward to the last section. Thank you for bearing with me. It is our Measure 12 funds and projects that remain. Other originally planned 2012 projects, Roland Elementary School, building classrooms, Ibarra two-story building, the Roland High School small theater modernization, Roland High School locker rooms, the HVAC, which is known as the air conditioning for our high school gyms, Giano Quad, and legacy and beautification projects. There are three series in the 2012 Measure R, Series A, B, and C, for $50 million, $57.6 million, and $40 million. I again apologize for the size and font. We'd like to go through each of these projects. I have to put my glasses on, so I'm sorry. The Giano Quad, this is an updated budget that we would like to do for each of these projects. The Giano Quad, $250,000 out of Series A. This is a reduction of $150,000 because this project is completed, and although it was originally scheduled for $400,000, it cost $250,000. The Roland Additions project continue with the $55 million budget, so there is no change. Roland High School Additions project, yes. There is no change. As I shared earlier, increasing Oswald by $20 million. The Nogales Athletic and Performing Arts, no change at this time. I'm sorry, I should give you the amount, $26 million. Ibarra, $7 million, which is an increase of $1 million. Roland Elementary, $5 million, which is an increase of $500,000. Santana, $5.5 million, which is reduced by $300,000. I do want the board to know that originally this was the La Seda site, and the money allocated was for an entire elementary school. The locker rooms at Roland High School, $1.5 million, which is a reduction of $100,000. The small theater, $1.5 million at Roland High School, no change. The high school gym AC, and I've also included, or football field turf, has been $3 million. Fajaro, $1.5 million, no change. One of the greatest changes comes from the program control legacy contingency, which we're reducing by $6.35 million.
Can you explain now? I mean, I'm happy about it, but
okay.
Well, I think it's important to note too, Alex, to share that the $3 million that's allocated for the gym or the core turf is not sufficient for.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Sorry, I took your thunder.
No problem. Because I took the liberty to add the football field turf, because our gymnasiums, will require potentially support for their roof to actually be able to have air conditioning installed. We've discussed it in our meetings that it would cost probably around $300,000 for a study to be completed to analyze what would be needed to be able to have air conditioning. And that's why we've been pretty aggressive with the new big fans that we've installed at Roland High School. Initial reports from at least some students that when it was installed in the summer, early school year, it was volleyball season, that they appreciated the extra the cooling effect that the fans did. The Nogales High School right now is slated to have the fans installed this summer also in the big gym. We've also have done the big fans in some of our NPRs just recently when we were at Northam for the Administrator of the Year. As we surprised them, there was a group of students in there, and we actually firsthand felt the effect of the big fans working, that they actually cool down the area. We do not have a cost estimate for that, but we know that it most likely will not be enough, $3 million for both high schools. Along with that, the energy consumption and cost moving forward to cool and to the gymnasiums has not been factored. I have asked Climatech to use different models to produce some estimates to see what would it cost to act for the energy to have two air conditioners working at the high schools, cooling the high schools. Large buildings like that require several hours in advance to be on before they're used. So we do not believe that there is enough money for the air conditioning units, but we would have to get some more information for the board. I'll go ahead and open up to any questions.
Other than Northam, like I've been in some activities at Roland Elementary in their cafeteria multi-purpose room. It gets pretty hot in there. Is there plans to put fans in any other elementary school?
In the NPRs?
Right.
Yeah, we're moving forward with more additional fans and to replace, to put them in the NPRs because they seem to be working and making it a better environment. I'm not sure if I addressed your initial question, Ms. Pride.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
So you said Giano Quad is all done, so this money allocation
is already used? There was $400,000 budgeted, only $250,000 was used, so that $150,000 is applied now to another project. Santana, it's we have a budget established, but we still don't know what's going to happen, and that's where that driving force of the facilities master plan will give us some vital information of what we should, how we should proceed, and what we should do.
Okay. And Fajardo.
Well, Fajardo was originally allocated at $1.5 million for infrastructure. As you know, so that would be one of our last things, and that would again would go back to the facility master plan to see if what is going to be the future of Fajardo.
When you say Santana, are you talking about the whole Leseda campus or just the Santana part?
Well, we're thinking of the Santana portion of the Leseda campus.
I want to go back to one of your first parts of your presentation about the cameras. You said that they're in the testing phase right now at Roland and Nogales. Are we committed to those two?
No, we're committed to those two. We're committed to the plan that's been developed.
Uh-huh.
We had a testing program at Giano last year. Before we made the investment of painting the whole school, we wanted to have cameras that were operational so that if there was any tagging, things like that. So even that, we've come a long way from there because we're going to go back and improve some of the cameras at Giano and upgrade some of their cameras and actually locations.
And what we're looking at doing at Oswald will be testing or
Oswald will,
final?
No, I'm sorry.
Just the new building.
Just the new building. What I had a conversation with Cisco of them actually testing their version of their camera in the proper locations at Oswald.
Okay.
That was, so I apologize. That was, there will be a solution at Oswald. We're just looking at a different type of camera there. At the end of the day, what we decide for the whole district, Oswald will get.
Okay. But
they will have the
same.
Something
put there for now.
Yes, there'll be something put there for now. Okay. I was trying to expedite it by having free cameras put there.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Flores, can you tell us, I believe you reported to the board once about the solar for the air conditioners in the gym, that the solar might be too heavy for those roofs also. Was that the problem?
The solars would actually, the solar programs don't go on any of our roofs because that's a DSA, it's a decision not to go use DSA because of the reinforcements that wouldn't be needed. One of the hesitations with the solar were the changing in the peak hours. And being able to analyze that beforehand, we weren't too sure if that was in the best interest to move forward and to be cautious and to see what the new funding formulas would be. At this point, if the peak hours are during the day, it is really it was cost efficient to look at solar programs. But with peak hours now being at night and the low hours being during the day, the cost efficiency for a district-wide solar program at this time, I could not recommend to the board. The only areas that you could consider that would be high schools with the use of batteries, but still even that, you still have to factor out. I think we have to be patient. We have to see what's going to happen, because I think once a lot of consumers are being charged more at night, there might be some discussion with legislatures or different people that could change. And at that time, we have discussed a lot of options with different vendors that we would be ready and far ahead of other school districts, because we've done a lot of research and work regarding the program.
And then my last question, if you don't mind me going back to the facilities master plan, how will staff use that master plan? How does it benefit us to have that?
Well, first we'll use it first most to make sure we build programs that are going to support our instructional program. But for Aubrey and for the fiscal and for us and for the team, it's going to be our guiding light, in the sense that it's going to direct us on what needs to happen so we can better plan, so that we can have products done and we can actually budget for them too, so that you're not a couple years down the road finding out that you're out of money. So you actually plan and you prioritize what is the greatest need first. So it's very, very beneficial for us, and it's going to give us direction and guidance in some of these projects that we just shared right now in 2012.
Thank you.
So now that solar was brought up, does that mean we're not going to talk about having them in the parking lots? I thought we were going to get another report.
There will be another report, and I just gave a really 2-cent version. I apologize, but we'll have a more extensive report that will be provided showing the cost analysis of the current rates compared to the other rates. A lot of times the solar companies themselves do that for you, and they work with it because they analyze. They're not producing those cost analysis as much these days. They're not coming forward as quickly. So some of those analyses are quite challenging.
Okay. And the air conditioning in the gyms, is there any way not to have it on the ceiling and another way to have the air conditioning?
At this time, I can't answer that question. But that's something we could explore. Most traditionally, they're on the ceiling because mm-hmm. they're very, very large, several tons that require a big open space.
Okay, and last thing, just a comment. After school was out and a school started, all the principals, everybody was complimenting building services. As I visited the schools, you work so hard, and it's just appreciated. We hear about it, but to actually see it and hear people tell us wonderful things, so I just want to say thank you very much.
Yeah, they do deserve it.
Yeah. Any more questions?
Appreciated this week. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Alice.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so thank you, Alex, and your team for a report and your work. Yeah, thank you. Any next time, Jordan. So I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move we adjourn.
And
I'll second.
Oh. Lynn.
Yeah, she said.
Lynn, move, and you second. Okay. Okay, we say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carry. Adjourn at 6:16. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good job.
Thank you. This is shorter than us. Yeah, I thought we were going to stay until 8 o'clock.
6:30.
Yeah, 6:30. Yeah. Yeah. All right. But there's still 15 minutes early. Yeah. So good.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
And then I just need the board to head back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.